mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Amen. Grab your Bibles. Let's go to the Word for a little while. Continue to let the Lord have His way. Thank you, singers, musicians. What a great job they do. Don't they do a wonderful job? Don't you appreciate our music department? Go with me to John, the 11th chapter, please. Lord, we ask you to bless the teaching, the preaching. Lord, help me to say what you'd have said. Help me to say it well. Ask you, Lord, to give me the words. And I pray, God, that you would open our hearts in this place today. We need you. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. You may be seated. It's a familiar story that I'm going to read for you, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus, who was dead for days, laid in the grave for days. We'll get there, but I need to start in verse 1, where the Bible says that a certain man was sick. Before he died, he got sick. His name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, he's saying this to his disciples right here. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man or the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he says to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said to him in verse 8, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus said, well, there's only 12 hours in the day, and if you don't walk in the day, you stumble by night. And so verse 11 says, these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples in verse 12, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Jesus knows that raising Lazarus from the dead will lead to deeper faith on the part of the disciples who witnessed this miracle. Did you know that sometimes in order to take us higher, he must first bring us lower? We have healing in mind, and Jesus has resurrection in mind. And if he does what Mary and Martha intend for him to do, desire for him to do, they will be shortchanged according to what his intent was. And I want to point out to you that it was not Jesus' intent just to take Lazarus to death. Lazarus doesn't get a lot out of this situation. He's sick. And Jesus doesn't come. And his sisters are saying, we sent for Jesus. And I'm sure every hour he's saying, have you heard from Jesus? Not yet. The next day, have you heard from Jesus? Not yet. And Jesus never shows up. As far as Lazarus knows, Jesus doesn't show up. This was not for Lazarus' benefit. Jesus gives us the intended benefit here in verse 15 when he says, I'm glad for your sakes. He's speaking to his disciples. This was not about Lazarus. This was about the disciples, and in a larger scale, it was about the kingdom of God. You understand? We've been talking a lot about it lately, about kingdom understanding, kingdom vision, kingdom mentality. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's not about me. It's not about my kingdom. It's not about my life. It's not about my agendas or my desires or my intentions. It's not about yours. It's about the kingdom of God. At some point in our Christian walk, we must mature to the point where we understand, let me say it this way, we stop thinking that the church and God's kingdom and God is all about tending to our every whim, wish, and desire, and understand that this is part of a kingdom that I am in. I am part of a much broader, much bigger picture than just my life. If you don't understand that, you will get really sideways with God when you pray, today I want it done, and God says, I'm not doing it today. Because you will not understand that God has the kingdom in mind, and you simply have your home, your life, your situation in mind. God is operating at kingdom level. We're operating at personal level. Jesus says, I'm glad that I was not there, because if I had been there, I would have been pressed upon by everybody in the house and everybody in the neighborhood to heal him, when my intent is not to heal. My intent is to do something bigger. We have healing in mind. Jesus has resurrection in mind. But in order for a resurrection, there must be death. Nobody wants to choose death. Nobody wants to pray. No, none of us pray. Not this way anyway. We don't pray, Lord, we really want a miracle, so send me a problem. Lord, I want to see a healing, so send some sickness. I want to see a resurrection, so send a death. We don't pray it that way. But what we do pray is, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I do not pretend to know exactly what that entails, but you know what it entails. It's the same kind of prayer that Ezekiel prays when God asks him, facing that valley full of dry, dead, skeletal bones, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, Lord, I don't know, but you know. Obviously, you've got something much bigger than I'm able to comprehend in mind, so I will just step back and not pretend to know what to pray. I'll simply say, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We got to pray bigger prayers than my needs, my situations, my desires, my agendas. What I know what I want, and you know what you want, but what does God want? What is God after? What is God up to? I keep preaching it. I'm going to keep preaching it until the Lord lets me off of it, but we cannot miss this opportunity. We cannot miss this moment. We cannot get away from understanding that this is about God's kingdom. God is in control. We're praying about bigger things than just who's in the White House. We're praying about kingdom things. Spiritual warfare. That's what the church is praying. We're on our knees. Do you know the greatest fear the devil has is that the church of the living God would rediscover just who we are and how much power we have, that when we pray powerful prayers, powerful things happen. I'm preaching better than you're with me. I'm preaching better than you're helping me. How many of you saw this morning's sermon? Anybody? Enough of you saw it. You gotta feed what's feeding you, okay? Somebody say amen. That's all I want, just an amen every once in a while. Just every once in a while. Jesus knows that raising Lazarus from the dead is going to lead this group of people, by the way, whom he is going to turn it all over to here shortly, it's going to lead them to a deeper faith, a greater understanding of who he is, the power he has. You don't know that he can raise the dead until there's death. You don't know that there is can be a resurrection until somebody dies. And so Jesus says, I'm glad for your sake, not his sake, not Mary and Martha's sake, but I'm glad for your sake, to the intent that you may believe. I want to deepen your faith. Be careful when you begin to pray for things like, Lord, I want greater faith. Lord, I want deeper understanding. Because you don't get, God doesn't just magically drop in you a download of deeper understanding. God says, if you want deeper understanding, you've got to go with me some places. You're going to have to go deeper to get deeper understanding. You don't understand valleys till you walk through valleys. You don't understand coming out of valleys till you've been in the valley. You don't understand mountaintops till you've been in the valley. You don't appreciate mountaintops. Jesus is going to prove how great he is, how wonderful he is by letting, Brother Pace, letting Lazarus die. I'm sick. I need a healer. Nope, not today you don't. Because God's up to something bigger. Jesus isn't going to show up to the deathbed or to the sick bed and raise him. And he's not even going to show up to the deathbed like he does Jairus' daughter. And he's not even going to show up at the funeral like he does at the son of the widow of Nain. He's going to wait till he's in the ground. The stone is rolled over the tomb. He's now, putrefaction is taking place. His body is beginning to deteriorate. The argument's going to be when Jesus starts to do what he's going to do. Lord, by now he stinketh. You don't want to roll that stone away. Jesus says, you don't understand what I'm doing. You would have prayed for me to heal when I want to resurrect. And now you want to leave the stone where I want to remove the stone. You want to complain about stinky bodies when I'm ready to raise him from the dead. He's going to walk forth from the dead with grave clothes on. And maybe the grave clothes still stunk. I don't know. It doesn't matter. When somebody who's dead comes walking out of the grave, you don't worry about the smell. You just get excited about the miracle. I'm preaching to somebody that needs to get a hold of this. Stop worrying about all of the little minutiae of things that might go wrong, might not work out, might not be the way you want it to be, and get excited about the fact that God is up to something great. God is up to something grand. And if we'll just say, yes, Lord, thy will be done. I wonder what God would do if the church would just begin to pray, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I'll go wherever you lead me to go. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll speak whatever you tell me to speak. And somebody said, amen. Wow. Wow. I just asked for a healing, but you're going to raise him from the dead. Wow. I never saw this coming. You will say that a lot when you start learning to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because see, here's the problem with so many of us. We saw it coming because we want to micromanage God. That means we want to tell him, this is what I need, this is how I want you to do it. And we sit around waiting on him to do what we want done, how we want it done, when we want it done, the steps we told him to take to get it done, because we think really what we're doing when we do that, we're saying, I know more than you. So you'll say things like, well, I saw it coming. If God answers every prayer the way you want him to answer it, you'll say things, I saw it coming. But when you start to pray, Lord, I don't even know, like Ezekiel, I don't even know, but you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You do whatever you want to do. You'll be saying things, I didn't see that coming. I knew he was up to something. I knew God was going to do something, but I didn't see that coming. Wouldn't you like to have a year after 2020? I'm talking about it. I know this year, we'll just write this year off. I know a lot of you just think God can't do anything in 2020. Huh? Can he still move in 2020? Oh, yeah. We only got a few weeks left. Okay, but even if I can't get you excited about 2020, could we just agree that in 2021, it could be a year where we could just say about every few weeks, wow, I didn't see that coming. Oh, my, I've been praying for God's will to be done, but I didn't know he was up to that. I didn't know he's going to roll a stone away and raise a man from the dead. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see my neighbor three houses down. I've been praying for him for years. I didn't see that he was going to come this week and get baptized. I didn't know that my mom was going to call me up and say, hey, what time is church? I didn't know my husband, who hasn't been in church for 52 years, was going to just come with me. So wouldn't it be great if in 2021 and maybe in 2020, we could begin to say, I did not even see that coming. I didn't see it coming because I didn't even know what to ask for. I was asking for this, and God was up to that. I haven't given up on a new building. I just started saying, Lord, your will be done. I'm not giving up on revival. I'm just saying, thy will be done. I haven't given up on a bus ministry, Brother Pace. I'm just saying, Lord, your will be done. I haven't given up on that. I haven't given up on us needing a new building and new buses. And I haven't given up on a choir. We're going to have a choir singing up here again someday. I haven't given up on the fact that I'm going to see your pretty smiles again someday when I'm preaching. I'm just saying, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done. I don't know what that is exactly all the time. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how you're going to bring it to pass. But I will not stop praying. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Bring it to pass. Bring it to pass. Church, I said it a couple Wednesdays ago. I'm going to say it again. We cannot just sit back and say that God's will is automatically going to happen. That is not biblical and that is not true. God's will is not always done. You cannot say just because whoever wins an election, that must have been God's will. That's not always true. Otherwise, the Lord would not tell us to pray. Thy will be done. The church must pray the will of God into existence. Believe for it. Fight for it. Claim it. Don't ever stop believing. How we doing? Somebody say amen. Now I want to show you this and then I'll be done here real shortly. But watch this. Watch this. So he says, okay, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So they go to Mary and Martha first, and Jesus has that interesting conversation with them about that he's the resurrection, and your brother's going to rise again, and I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. If you believe, do you believe? If you believe, though he were dead, yet shall he live? And he has that whole conversation with them. It's an interesting conversation. And then he finally says to them, where have you laid him? Take me to where you've laid him. Take me to the point where you gave up, in other words, and you rolled the stone over it. And you begin to call it finished and impossible and done. Take me there. And Jesus wept. And then he says to them, take ye away the stone. This is where they have the argument about he's going to stink, Lord. And Jesus just says, look, did I not tell you if you believe? Aren't you glad God repeats himself sometimes to you? That you'll see the glory of God. They took away the stone. I'm in verse 41. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes. He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know that you hear me always, but because of the people, they're a little slow sometimes, Lord. So I said it for their benefit because they don't always get everything that I'm saying and they don't always get everything. And so I'm just saying, I know you always hear me, but so they know that you hear me. I'm just going to say it out loud that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead. He was dead. If there was any uncertainty that he was dead, he was dead. And also he was dead. Not now, but he was in the past tense. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Brother Pace, I'm thinking of you in this sermon. I don't think you've probably said very many times about somebody that they were dead. They are dead. Have you ever had anybody show up and they were dead and they're not dead? But I've read of that happening maybe some places, very rarely, where they thought they were dead. That we don't want to go there. That's morbid. That's not. Why do you guys want to go there? But you don't say that phrase very often. When somebody dies, they're dead. It's not was dead, were dead, previously dead. But that was the description of Lazarus from this moment on. The Bible even talks about it was that Lazarus. One time it says it was that Lazarus that was dead. Introducing the previously dead Lazarus. Top that, devil. Aren't you glad there are things in your life God has done that you can point to every time the devil tries to parade something in front of you? You can point and say, you know, take that, devil. He's already done that. You know, do you know How many of you got the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand if you've been saved with the Holy Ghost. You're previously dead. You are previously dead. You were dead. And you're not dead anymore. You've been saved. You've been resurrected. And every time the devil tries to come and tell you you're not, all you got to do is say, take that, devil. The previously dead Steve Worthen. The previously dead Ed Harding. He that was dead came forth. Now he's bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face is bound about with a napkin. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Let me get you here and then I'll let you go here. Then many of the Jews, watch this. Many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. I want you to notice two very powerful results of this very incredible miracle. This amazing miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead brings two very, not only powerful results, two very contrasting, starkly contrasting results. The first is this, that many of the Jews, remember a few verses ago where Jesus is getting ready to go and they said, oh Lord, wait, we're going to go. Many of the Jews want to kill you. Many of the Jews want to stone you, right? Now, many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, now many of them believed on him. That's the first result. Many who did not believe up till that point believed on him. You got that? Say they believed. They believed. That's the first result. Watch this. But, verse 46. See, two results in two verses. 45, many believed. 46, some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and they told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. I love it when a move of God causes hell to call a meeting. What are we going to do? That Turning Point Apostolic Church talking about revival. What are we going to do? That church down there on Vine Street in Ellisville, they're getting together talking about reaching their community and building a new building. What are we going to do? We're going to try to discourage them. We're going to try to distract them. We're going to try to divide them. God moves, and many people get excited and believe, but many people begin to come against Jesus. Now watch this. What do we do? This man does many miracles. If we let him thus alone, you see this? If we don't fight against it, everybody's going to get on board. If we don't come against that work, they're going to win the whole town of Ellisville to Jesus. If we don't fight them, all men will believe on him. He's doing miracles. He's moving in people's lives. Dead, okay, it's one thing to turn water into wine, but man, he's raising their dead. And if we don't stop him, if we just leave him alone, now, get this, all the devil has to do is leave us alone and revival just happens. Now he won't. He'll fight us every step of the way. That's why we have to have verses that remind us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us, because the hell will come against us and we will have to storm the gates of hell. We will have to gain the victory. But all we have to do is do the work of the Lord, pray his will be done, follow him, trust him, and we'll just have revival if the devil leaves us alone. So the devil fights us. if we leave them alone, all men will believe on him. And then the Romans are going to come, and they're going to take away both our place and nation. This is going to mess everything up for us politically, nationally, even with those who are ruling us. It's going to mess our whole system. The Pharisees had a system. They didn't like being ruled by the Romans, but they've made their peace with it, and the Pharisees had their little niche in that whole Roman Empire thing. And they were open enough to say, Jesus is going to mess this all up for us. Is this soaking into somebody? when the apple cart starts getting messed up, when evil starts being overturned. Evil doesn't just step by and let its apple cart be upset. Evil says, I'll fight back. We'll do whatever we have to do. If we just leave that alone, it's going to mess us all up. We will not just leave it alone. The Romans are going to come. They're going to mess up our whole system here. Look at verse 49. One of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, well, you don't know anything. Sorry, I get a kick out of some of the words. I guess I'm weird. You don't know anything. Go down to verse 51. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest. Go down to 52. And not for that nation only, but that for he should also gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Go down to 53. Then from that day forth, this is where I want you to see. From that day forth, from what day? From the day he raised Lazarus from the dead, two things happen. One, believers started believing stronger. Two, they took counsel together for to put him to death. One group of people said, we're going to believe, we believe, we're going to follow him. This other group of people said, more than ever before, we want to put Jesus to death. Now, I'm only pointing this out today to show you that when God moves, when his will begins to be done, revival can take place and hell will fight. In fact, I believe that revival fires. Now, you may not agree with this, but I think the scripture bears it out, and I think I've witnessed this many times in my life, that revival fires are fanned by two fans. One is the church praying, and the other is the enemy fighting. I know we don't want to think about that too much, but it's biblical. Anytime the Lord begins to move, so does the enemy. God is up to something, and so is the devil. Think about it. Christianity doesn't spread across the globe except persecution came. Literally flushed them, plunged them out of Jerusalem into the world. I don't want that to be the case. I'm just simply saying this. We don't have to sit around and pray that all hell stops fighting against, oh God, let the devil stop fighting. The devil's never going to stop fighting us. If the only reason the devil stops fighting us is if we stop doing God's will. As long as we are a threat, Jesus is like, okay, hey, I'm going to raise somebody from the dead. Until that happened, nobody's running over to the Pharisees. Caiaphas isn't getting all up in arms. They're not saying, what are we going to do? We better put him to death. Nobody's worrying too much about it, but it gets to that breaking point, that tipping point, where they finally say, if we don't deal with this, this is where we are. I'm only pointing this out because this is where we are right now. We, as the church, must be very aware of where we are in our world. I'm not asking you to become a political junkie. I'm not asking you to tune into Fox News or CNN. I don't care. But as your pastor, I am asking you to be very aware that this is not about Biden and Trump, Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals. I wish some of you would get this. We are in the last days. In the church, in the United States of America, there is a push to come against Christianity. like never before. Folks, our liberties, not just as citizens, but especially as Christians, are at stake right now. Now, I don't know what's going to come of all this legal battle. I don't know who the president is going to be the next 4 years. I don't know that yet. I don't pretend. God hasn't given me a word. I have no prophetic word for you on that. I simply have the word of God to tell you this. Whatever happens, we're going to have to fight hell while we have revival. And I'm not done yet. Watch this. I'm almost done, and music's going to come just to prove that I'm almost done. Come on. Come on. They don't believe me. Watch this. Now, I mentioned this morning, but I want to hit on it just a little bit here as I close. Daniel said in Daniel 11:32, and he's talking really about the last days. I'm convinced that he's talking about the last days when the Antichrist causes the sacrifices to cease in Israel. And chapter 11, verse 32 says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God," that's you and me, "shall be distracted, weak, anemic, sick." Come on, I need you to get this. I do not believe for one moment the Lord is looking to rapture out some puny little bride barely able to make it. And we just, you know, I know what the Bible says, we're going to be praying, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." I know that, but I don't believe we're going to be saying, barely lifting a pinky. We're going to get to the point where we finally say, "All right, God, we've fought. We've done what we can do. We've reached all we can reach. We see this thing coming. All right, Lord, we're ready to go. Go ahead. Come quickly. We're ready." We're not going out with a whimper. We're going out with a shout. And while hell fights us, we can have revival. While hell fights us, we can baptize thousands in the name of Jesus. While hell fights us, we can see thousands baptized by the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you believe it, stand to your feet, would you? And clap your hands to the Lord and believe this with me today. We shall have revival. And they that do know their God, they that do know their God, shall be strong and do exploits. They're going to do works. They're going to have revival. They're going to win souls. They're going to pray for the sick and they shall recover. Come on, somebody. They're going to win children to the Lord. They're going to win young people to the Lord. They're going to win old people to the Lord. They that do know their God, you better know Him. And if you know Him, come on, there's no time for the church to be weak. Man, they saw Lazarus come forth, and some of them said, "Oh, yeah, we're on board." And some of them said, "Oh, no, we're going to fight you with everything we have." Jesus just went right on. Now, the Bible does say that from that time, it's interesting, Jesus changes tactics. From that time, he walked no more openly among the Jews. That's interesting. I don't have time to go there. But he didn't stop working. He didn't stop ministering. If the sick came, he healed them. If somebody needed saved, he saved them. Church, we got to make up our minds. I don't know what's going to happen next week or the week after that. I do not know. But I do know this. We're still going to be the church. And he's still going to be the Lord. We've already proven something. And we proved it well. I really do believe that we proved it well. That we could. How long did we go without meeting here in person? Was it 3 months? 2.5 months? And you know what it proved? Y'all came back in here. I remember that parking lot service we did out there. Some of you came and you couldn't even see anything. You couldn't. didn't hardly hear anything, and here you were still out there just excited to be back in some semblance of gathering together and worshiping God. I saw you, some of you, that the government was trying to say, you shouldn't get out yet, let all the younger people come. You know who it was? It was the older people calling me and saying, Pastor, can I come to church anyway? I just want to go to church. I just want to be with God's people. So the devil tried to knock us out, but here we are. We're back with a vengeance. So we've already proven, even if we cannot meet in person, we don't stop being the church. We don't stop worshiping God. We don't stop praying. The fire is not only fanned by worship, it's also fanned sometimes by persecution, by tribulation. I want to let the Lord use me. How about you? Amen. Tell somebody about Jesus. Pray. The Lord leads you to somebody that's hungry and thirsty. Pray the Lord lead you. There are people. I know we're in the battle of our lives. I know that we are. I don't dispute that. I don't dispute that we are facing more opposition, more evil, and it's not just rearing its head. It's coming right out now. I understand that. But do you know that there are people right now that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness? They see it. They understand. Things are happening in the spirit world. They can't figure it out. They can't put their finger on it. That's why we're still here. I'm convinced we are still here. You are living for such a time as this. I don't know about you, but I feel pretty special. I could have died 6 years ago, and I'm still here to witness this and to be a part of this. You could have been born 100 years earlier and already been dead and gone. But here you are living at this time. Brother Sean, for such a time as this, you are here. You're not here by accident. This is not happenstance. This is not coincidence. You're here on this earth for a reason. You have a job to do. You have a mission before you. There's somebody in your life that needs to be reached for Jesus. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Let the Lord use you. You are a special people. You are blessed by God. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. You are anointed by God. He has brought you to this moment and this time, and He's going to bless you. He's going to empower you. You've got to believe this. Does anybody believe what I'm telling you? Do you believe what I'm telling you about you? I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about them. Well, I am. I'm talking about y'all too. I'm talking about you. Sister Kenesha, let me see. Make a fist. Oh, yeah. You believe what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. No, you're not getting my kids. You're not getting my grandkids. I see it. I see the fight in your eyes. Come on. How many of you feel like fighting? Show me a fist. Come on. I'm going to fight hell, and I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to fight hell, and I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to have revival, and the devil better not get in my way. You got to have some fight in you. You got to have some fight in you. You got to get up and fight this fight. Come on, somebody. Let's worship the Lord. Pray, worship, whatever you feel like doing. You want to pray? Pray. You want to worship? Worship. This altar's open. Lord.